Welcome to the latest episode of Aerospace Radio Station Extended. Welcome to Extended, your aerospace radio station.
Hello everybody and welcome to episode 203 of Aviation Extended. And I am delighted to say that for the first time since the four of us have been involved, we are all here recording a podcast at the same time is an absolute miracle. Getting diaries together is almost impossible. I have to be on an episode, so I can't even remember the last time I was on an episode. But it's brilliant to see everybody. So my name's Gareth Stringer from Global Aviation Resource, and so I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Pete Johnson from XDP Media.
Hi there, Gareth. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Tim Robinson from the Royal Aeronautical Society.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back.
And brilliantly, our resident pilot, Ellie Carter, who is joining us live from an airfield, no less.
Thank you so much for putting up with me.
where are you, Ellie?
I'm currently at Oaksey Airfield, where we have the Fairchild Argus. We're prepping for flying to Normandy at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Wow.
Leaving to the last minute, as always.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's a big week. My late grandfather was a Normandy veteran, and he would be so pleased to see that this has not been forgotten. And I hope the weather holds and everybody gets where they need to be and we get a really good week.
Well, so, weather's looking good, isn't it?
It's looking okay. It's looking windy.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll be down the runway. One of the aircraft don't like crosswinds, so we'll just have to be careful.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe we can quiz you, Ellie, on that in a bit.
Sure.
So, episode 203, how did we get here? It's incredible. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to have a little look back at the first 200 episodes of Extended, not one by one, you'll be pleased to hear. we're going to have a little look ahead to what the future might hold. For the podcast as well, because we're not going anywhere. But before we get into that, there's some sobering news that we wanted to cover off. And we're going to start with the tragic death of Squadron Leader Mark Long from the Royal Air Force's Battle of Britain Memorial Flight. Mark unfortunately died in a Spitfire crash on Saturday, the 25th of May, very close to the BBMS home base of RAF Coningsby. Tim, a first fatality for the BBMF and an absolute shock to the whole aviation community.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was the tributes that have been poor again. When obviously his name was released, gave you some indication of how well loved and skilled a pilot he was. So the first fatality in the Battle of Britain Memorial Flights. History. We do hear from time to time of warbirds that go in. That's part of the risk of flying old aircraft. I think people appreciate that. But still a real big shock to the community, to the air shows, and to the RAF at large, I think, really. Obviously, as we are recording this, the BBMF is taking the precautions of grounding the entire fleet. So that's, Lancaster, Hurricanes and Spitfires, just while they do an investigation and find out what the cause was.
Yeah, it goes without saying that all of our thoughts go with Mark's family, friends and everybody at the BBMF and also the Typhoon Force and everybody who knew him. It's a very, very sad loss. Ellie, you're involved with the more historic side of aviation. I'm sure it's something that, that resonated with you and your colleagues as well.
Yeah, I mean, when you're flying on aircraft, you accept the risk, but it's terrible. You don't expect it'll happen. It's just, it's not good.
No, not good. And as I say, incredibly sad news, and our thoughts are with everybody involved. And unfortunately, there's more. That the second tribute we wanted to pay is to Commander Nigel Ward, better known as Sharky Peter, former guest on the podcast. I'm very proud to say Sharky was will be known for his book, of course, about flying the Sea Harrier over the Falkland. He was almost the archetypal fighter pilot, wasn't he? A huge cheerleader for Royal Navy and for the Sea Harrier. Very outspoken, I think it's fair to say. His personality, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think, make no bones about it, that episode that we recorded that Tim interviewed Sharky from his home in the Caribbean proved to be a real watershed for us here on Extended. It was overwhelming, the attention that it struck, partly because he is a bit of a divisive character. He says what's in his mind, and unfortunately that split the room a little bit between the Air Force and the Fleet Air Arm on a few issues. But I think what's really interesting is with the announcement of his parting, all of those advocates, supporters, and dare we say some of the people who differed in opinion were out in numerous numbers to say, first and foremost, what a fabulous pilot and officer he was, and the commitment that he made to this country, particularly in the South Atlantic, is nothing short of heroic. So it's a big loss. It's a real shame, because we were genuinely hoping to see if we could get Sharky back to talk to us, because he just has such fabulous views on Navy flying, the Fleet Air Arm, and in particular the F-35 and its introduction to service. So really sad day for the Fleet Air Arm and for all involved. And again, we send out our condolences to friends, family, colleagues, and anyone who came across him. And as I said, for us, it was a watershed episode. We gave up counting, I think, 40 or 50,000 downloads for that episode. And it's still being listened to this day. So an attraction that we'll probably never see the like of again.
No, hear, hear. And there's a bit of a nice segue there to the third tribute that we wanted to pay Tim. Robert Priest is not necessarily a name that everybody listening to this podcast will know. In the late 70s, Robert Priest was an RAF Phantom pilot. He was probably, we think, the only black fighter pilot in RAF service at that time. He wrote a book called F4 Phantom, a pilot story, without permission from the Royal Air Force. They did find out, I believe there was some hasty editing before they allowed it to be published. But Tim, for a certain generation of which, and you're going to be too young for this, but for which I definitely include myself, this was the book about military flying. It's a wonderful piece of work. I've got a couple of copies here. I reread it probably on an annual basis. Tim, it's a brilliant piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah, on there behind me up there is F4 pilot story. I mean, yeah, it's first off, it's day to day squadron life on a Cold War fighter squadron. You know, taking to the air, flying over the North Sea, you know, intercepting bears at night. But also, it's his poetic way with words. You know, it's this description of flight. It's the you know, he's describing something like, one of the things was stuck in my head was, you know, bouncing a load of buccaneers at low level that were like a shoal of fish. I know, just great. Right? And you just read that and you're like, oh, I want more of this. I want more of it, you know. And he did do a book called, I think, To the Limit or flying to the limit. That was about he flew with the Omani Air Force and flying Jaguars in there, had a ejection, sort of near death experience, an ejection two seat Jaguar in a spin, and got dragged across the desert floor after he ejected. And then went on to what I think was a fairly successful career in the airlines. And I believe he also went straight into the left-hand seat of a commercial carrier, you know, and that's unheard of. So really great guy. He's sadly missed, you know, and a great regret here. We didn't get him on the show because he was a very private character as well, you know.
Indeed. We must thank big friend of the show, Roland White, did put us in touch with Robert, because Roland was behind this sort of digital republishing of F4 Phantom, a pilot story, and his Jaguar story, I believe. But we never made it happen, did we? And we only talked about it a few weeks ago. And lo and behold, sort of over the weekend, at time of recording, news sort of started to surface. So some sobering news on those three front to begin with, but
so Gareth, there's actually a fourth if you that I would probably want to mention as well, and that's Bud Anderson.
Oh, of course, yeah, very remiss.
So 17th of May, age 102, triple ace, Mustang pilot in World War II. If you've seen, you know, you must know, everyone's seen a P-51 that's marked with Old Crow, and he was the last of World War II's triple ace, you know, fighter pilots for the US. So again, another legend gone west.
Absolutely, well said, and thank you for reminding me. So look, let's move on to something a little bit more cheerful. 200 episodes of Extended. Peter, I'm going to come to you because it's kind of your fault.
Well, you talk me back into it every year.
So that's probably true. You know, this goes like a long way now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just the 200 episodes. It's a long period of time. I remember you recording the Cross the Pond segments, which I was a guest. I'm guessing him was probably.
It was the two of you separately. Then you came together, and we did one. We did a couple together. So 200 of those before we even started Extended.
As our creator and our leader, Peter, how do you look back on Extended now with 200 episodes under our belts? I'm going to say this like I'm not involved, but you must be really proud of that. It's a huge achievement.
Yeah, I think I want to put it into context because we produced 100 episodes over 8 years. Ellie then joined us and the magic just doubled because we put 100 episodes in the last 4 years, which is really, really interesting dynamics. We never expected it to quite fall out that way. For me, I think the most amazing thing about what we've had is the people that we've had on the show. You know, we've mentioned a few there, and you talk about ejections. We've had several ejection stories. We've had several people talking about very, very deeply personal issues on the show. Not by intent, it's just the way that the program has evolved. And I think that's allowed us to maybe tell stories that are a little bit different from some of the mainstream podcasts. You know, when we started this 12 years ago, we didn't even want to call it a podcast because we thought that would turn people off. And now you've got the BBC and everybody else and their dog in there. So, yeah, immensely proud of what we've done. Very surprised we're still here 12 years later. Slightly worried about that. And I'm not quite... Still going, but it's great for us, and we've got plans to carry on. We intend being a bit different going forwards, continuing to tell some of those stories of the sector that don't always get some of the airtime that the mainstream media tends to push. So I think that's really important, and things like our Women in Aviation features have been really, really important I think, to helping the sector grow up a bit. And with people like Ellie involved and supporting us, it does make a massive difference, because otherwise it's just three old blokes sitting on a call at night talking about aeroplanes. And the reality is, it's great looking back, but we also need to look forwards, and we need this sector to be healthy, and we need it to be well balanced. And so I think I'm really proud of some of the work we've done in those areas, helping people. And to this very day, this very morning, I was fighting with somebody on social media who quite simply was rude about one of our female guests. And it just goes to show that so many of those things we think are gone and forgotten are still there. And this is quite a respected individual in the aviation sector. So it's not done. We're not going to give up, and we've got to just keep pushing. But no, immensely proud and capped, of course, by a lot of accolades. And again, this year, with being a finalist in the Aerospace Media Awards along with Tim, is just beyond our imagination, really.
Tim, you've got your own podcast now. You got lots of podcasting to do.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, kudos to Peter, who is the anchor. I think we're safe to say he's the anchor. Aeronautical equivalent of that. The main spar, the engine, the fuel tank. He is the anchor. And the other thing also I'd like to point out to people listening to this is that this is all done in our spare time. So, you know, we're all kind of volunteers here. That no one's getting paid for this. Yeah. So the success of this. Well, I don't know if it was a sex success, but so we branched out. Now we have another aerospace NOTAM podcast, which is a little slightly different thing. And we're looking at the news, aviation news roundup, and also what's happening in the magazine. So, and this I think is there's a nice balance between chatting to somebody for an hour, like you know, Roland White or you know, Mike Bannister, which wouldn't necessarily fit, I don't think, maybe possibly in the NOTAM one, which is it's how our magazine is structured. Is it's forward looking, current aviation, forward looking.
You're very brave, Tim. You've gone on video as well. You've gone from audio to video.
Well, yes. Less said about that, the better. Yeah.
No, it's great stuff. And I just look, when we started talking about getting together, I started looking back on the episodes. And I know we want to talk about some of the ones we've enjoyed and been involved in. But I simply can't pick a favourite. I can't pick a favourite guest.
We're going to come back to that in a minute.
Yeah.
So, I will be expecting answers.
Okay. I need to go back to my list.
At least.
Yes. Ellie, please, just remind listeners, Ellie, how you came to be involved in the podcast. Please, you mentioned the women in aviation bits that we've done, and that has been a really, really important part. And is my recollection correct? Ellie was a guest and it came out.
Yeah.
It came out from that.
Yeah, episode 102, I think it was.
Oh my God.
I'd like to say I remembered that, but I didn't. I had to do my homework. I think it was 102. And it just felt right. It just felt right that we needed to have somebody who could steer us and put us straight, particularly from a flying perspective. Because, you know, we interview a lot of pilots and air crew and people involved in the sector. And we try to do our best to understand their perspectives. But it's never better, as we found out earlier when talking about flying older aircraft, how important it is to have somebody who actually does that. And so, you know, Ellie brings that. But more critically, she's an ambassador that works around the industry, very quietly, I might add, and doesn't make a big song and a dance about it. And I just thought that humility would be fantastic to have on the show with us to help us make and reinforce that change.
Annie, do you feel that responsibility, just aside from the podcast at the moment, do you feel that there is that sort of ambassadorial thing to what you do? There's no doubt about that. Is that a responsibility that you feel?
For me, it's just something that I enjoy. I remember what it was like for me and still is to an extent, and I just want to help other people, especially other girls, just get to where I am. And I don't know, it's not a responsibility, it's just something I enjoy.
Yeah, that's probably a really nice way of looking at it. And you know, it doesn't take the edge off it, it's still really important, but it makes it easy, doesn't it, I suppose. And I guess in some ways that ties into what Tim's just said about, you know, we all do this in our spare time. We wouldn't be here if we didn't enjoy doing it, because we could just stop, and it is very difficult for us all to get together, and that's probably best illustrated by the fact that this is the first time.
204 episodes we've managed to do it.
If you saw our WhatsApp group with the messages when we're trying to get together at times, and even this was rescheduled.
Listen, that was my fault. But listen, before we drift off though, I just want also just to mention the work you do, Gareth, because yes, I do all the audio and that sort of thing, but somebody has to do the website, somebody has to post the podcast, and you do that relentlessly week in, week out, you know. So behind the scenes, we've also got that. So everyone's got their role in this team. We all do different
things. I'd like to do that moving forward. It'll just happen automatically.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, that's a really good, thank you, Peter. That's also a really good link. One of the things, and I know that this will resonate particularly with you, Peter and Tim, one of my abiding memories of that first chunk of time of Extended was how often we were blighted by technical issues, not only sort of internet,
Skype,
etc. And a lot of our, those early recordings were disastrous, weren't they?
They're shocking. The quality was shocking. I mean, it's hard enough today to try and get them right.
Are we going to do a bottom top 10 as well as a top 10 of favorite episodes?
There were.
I remember abandoning a few recordings.
Yeah, because it drifted out.
Where it just didn't work.
Yeah, it was frustrating at times, and some of those episodes would take literally 10 hours to edit. Because they started and stopped so many. And we can remember, we used to record for like 2.5 hours. You know, the episodes used to be monumental. So, it was really frustrating. When I hear the Skype ring now, it actually gives me like it stresses me out. It really stresses me out.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
I just didn't want to say that, Tim, but yeah, that's exactly what it does. It's just so stressful.
Yes, post-Skype trauma.
So, it was difficult. And, you know, particularly doing interviews abroad, you know, 12 years ago, it was still something, you know, even though with time differences, it was still a big deal to get a West Coast guest on. You know, you had an 8-hour difference, you had to schedule it, and then you just had to pray to goodness that Skype would actually work.
Yeah.
And there was one time when we had a guest on the West Coast, and we did an hour's recording, and I forgot to hit record. You know, so. Amazing. You know, it happens. It happens. They were very.
It all comes out now, folks.
Very generous with their time.
I do want to talk about favourites, and you've just teed something up perfectly. So, I wrote a couple down that immediately came to mind, and one of these ticks a couple of boxes. So it's Mike Mullane.
Yep.
As a NASA astronaut. Incredible book, Riding Rockets. Highly recommend it if you haven't read it. I got in touch with Mike off my own back to see if I could interview him. And we were pretty new, I think, at the time.
Trying to remember when it was.
And he said, back in the grade, I remember I had to buy international credit on Skype. He gave me a landline.
And
that was the only way I was able to record it. And I remember it was a real struggle. And, the quality wasn't great. I mean, God bless you for somehow managing to edit some of this stuff together, Peter. But I remember sitting there thinking, I'm talking to a space shuttle astronaut.
Yeah.
This guy's been into space 3 times. And that, for me, is definitely up there as one of my favourites. But equally, I do remember the technical difficulties as well.
Episode 20.
Wow.
Episode 20, that was. That was great. I loved that one. I loved the book, but yeah, he was such a great speaker. Really enjoyed that. In fact, we've had some really interesting space guests, actually.
We've done quite a lot of space, haven't we, over the years?
Yeah. It's a funny one because it's trying to find the topics the listeners will enjoy as well as the ones we want to produce. And sometimes space works and sometimes it doesn't. So we had Tim Peake. Tim spoke to Tim Peake.
Yeah.
So that was a good one. And of course, you've always got Roland and Into the Black. I think that was that was just a fabulous episode. He's just so special in how he aggregates the stories and brings it to life. And he can do that both in his book, but he does it when he talks to us as well.
Did you know that in the late 1940s, during atomic weapons testing in the Pacific, the USA used Boeing B-17 Flying Fortresses as unmanned radio-controlled drones? Did you also know that in 1927, two RAF officers in a Hawker Horsley set a new distance record, flying from Britain to the Persian Gulf, only for it to be eclipsed just hours later by Charles Lindbergh's Solar Atlantic crossing, which was a mere 180 miles longer? If your answers to the above are yes, you're probably a regular reader of The Aviation Historian, the quarterly journal, print and digital, that explores the less well-trodden paths of flying history. If your answers are no, visit theaviationhistorian.com and see what you're missing.
G'day, I'm Steve Vischer.
And I'm Grant McCarran from Plane Crazy Down Under.
And you're listening to Extended.
A few favourites come to mind for you?
Gosh, well, Roland White, he's been a regular return guest, hasn't he? I mean, you know, you wind him up, you ask him a question about Harriers, mosquitoes, space shuttles, and you just let him off and next thing you know, it's like 2 hours later and you're still chatting.
We have had to reel him in a bit.
So I like the fact we got, you know, we got Winkle. We got Eric Browner, a chat with Winkle. And then, you know, sort of topped and tailed it really with Paul Beaver talking about the revelations from his book last year. That was really, again, you know, blimey, Britain's greatest test pilot. Who would have thought? The ones I like are talking to John Romaine, Aircraft Restoration Company.
Yeah, that was a good. I loved that one.
Yeah, talking about doing sort of stunt work, rebuilding warbirds, Concorde, Mike Bannister, so Concorde's chief pilot there, a recent one I liked, Nathan Gray.
That was
again another test pilot. But what a personal story. I mean, you were talking about how these things just sort of kind of come out.
Yeah,
a bit like John Nicol and sort of Tornado. But again, you know, you're just talking to somebody who's had a near death experience, put it down in a book. And then you talked to them we talked to them and we'd sort of tease a little bit more out of them and it all comes back. And, you know, we just sat there, I think, you know, hairs standing up on the back of our neck when he was explaining some, you know, thoughts and feelings of surviving an ejection. So, yeah, those are some of my top ones. But I mean, gosh, I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, isn't it? When you look through the list, the 200 plus now, and some of the things that we've done, some of the things we've covered. Ellie, you've done a few bits and pieces. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I feel slightly ashamed, actually. I've done hardly any, but I just loved it.
Well, there you go. You're gonna have to take the recorder to Normandy with you.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah,
that, that in itself will be a tale worth telling. I have known.
Yeah. You should take a little audio diary and just record a few bits. We'll stitch it together for you.
That actually would be quite a good idea.
Yeah.
Do that pretty easy.
Yeah. Just every
coming
now
live,
and then.
Live from Omaha Beach.
Yeah. And how much flying do you think you're going to do over there, Ellie? Do you know yet? Or
quite a bit. We're flying the long route round because we're down at St Andre as a base, and then we're moving up to Caen later. So we've got to get to Calais, to Abbeville, to St Andre, which is probably about 6 hours, 7 hours flying.
Right.
And then back again, plus a 3 hour round trip on the 6th and then 2 flights on the 7th.
Wow.
So we're probably looking at 10 to 15 hours.
Wow.
Pretty intense.
And for those who don't know anything about Cubby, and by the way, I do have one over on all of you. I have seen Ellie fly. So that's the other thing I've got.
Yeah.
And you have to fix that as well. But can you just tell us a little bit about its history?
Yeah. So, Cubby, as I've affectionately nicknamed it, is kind of ridiculous. But
I call it that too now. So.
I don't know where it came from, to be fair, but anyway, it was built in 1944 in America, and it was shipped over. It did serve in Belgium during World War II, but it didn't fly in D-Day, unfortunately, so technically the D-Day markings are wrong. But
yeah, and it's currently carrying D-Day markings, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's really cool. It looks really, really, really good. We'll put a picture in the show notes of that. And in terms of the amount of flying you do down there, obviously it's all VFR, I'm assuming. Are you planning to fly in formation with any other aircraft?
Yeah, so it's all VFR and it's pretty much all in formation, which is kind of brilliant because it's like the best flying ever. It's really, you've kind of got to be on the ball. I think I'm flying in formation, so I won't actually see anything out the window at all other than this beautiful aeroplane in front of me. So anybody on the ground, please tell me what it looked like.
No, love it. Well, you must make some sort of record for
either
Con and we'll have a conversation about it in a few weeks or something.
Definitely. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good.
Peter, let's talk a little bit about the absolute epic that was your Coastal Command series, because that was, even in isolation from everything else we've done, with a pretty extraordinary body of work.
Yeah, I think, and that was something we were all involved in. Everyone played a part in that, along with some of our guests. But it started off just with a tiny nugget of trying to understand why my dad kept on mentioning Coastal Command, and he's in the Fleet Air Arm, and it just never squared with me until he'd gone. And a friend of the show and regular guest Matt Willis, I went to and I said, "What's this about? What's he keep talking about?" Well, you know, and he said, "Oh yeah, well, the Navy, blah blah blah." And of course, it all unfolded from there. And as I opened more doors, more came to us. And then when we went to people and said, "Oh, we want to make an episode on the Fleet Air Arm working with Coastal Command," they said, "Oh yeah, but you can't forget the New Zealanders are in Coastal Command. You can't forget, you know, the Sunderlands, and you can't forget." And it was just, well, where do we stop? And we had to stop because it could have been probably 20 episodes, to be quite frank. We just had to call a halt to it. But 8 or 9 episodes. My favourite episode of all of them is the one that we did on Thorny Island, that you read for us, very kindly read for me. And because it was, I had to do the research. And so I had to do that job we ask a lot of our guests about, you know, how do you find this information? Where do you go? And for, I think it's about 30 minutes of talking you had.
Can I just say, sorry to interrupt, that was a really, really interesting exercise as well.
Because
when you asked me, I said, "Yeah, no problem." I thought, well, that'd be easy. And of course, you sit down at your microphone with this script in front of you, two sentences in, and you cocked a word up. You've got to start again. And so hats off to anyone doing like
voiceovers, amazing
stuff like that. That wasn't an easy thing.
Yeah, you know, it was, and it came across really, really well, I thought. But yeah, it really taught me how to manage opinions versus facts, and how to research the truth as well as you could, with the information available and the sources you had. So it's a really interesting exercise. It has whet my appetite, and we probably lots of people would like us to go back and do more on World War II Coastal Command. Maybe there's a time for that, but I think what I'd like to do is to look at the post-war era and look at Cold War Coastal Command. And we're going to do it in a slightly different way, in that we will try and limit it to 3 or 4 episodes. And we're going to pick 3 aircraft. And that's because what I'm starting to find out by now researching the post-war is the plethora of avenues you could go down. So we're going to try and choose our guests quite carefully to help us navigate that. And we want to focus on the Shackleton, the Nimrod, and bring us right up to date with the P-8 if we can. And just do everything around it. And without telling too much of that story in advance, I'm overwhelmed by the volume of activity in developing new aircraft post-war, for not only for Coastal Command, but for others. But even when you narrow it down to the maritime role, people like Chris Gibson, who sits with us on the Historians Roundtable, which we should also talk about, actually. They've proved really popular. The amount of research he's done, a number of aircraft, I absolutely shocked. So I'll give a little tidbit away. I never knew that the Trident, the civil airliner, was proposed as a maritime reconnaissance aircraft.
Yeah.
You know, and you can think of all the other British aircraft that have been developed since the war. Almost every single one of them and every variant has been proposed as a maritime reconnaissance aircraft. So it's just a fascinating topic. So hopefully over the summer we'll pick some of that up. Some of the guests are responding positively. We want some. We've spoken to some air crew, so we're going to have some air crew talk as well. And I suppose the challenge we had with the Coastal Command series is most of them had gone. This time, we've still got the chance to speak to some of the people who were there and did it at the time. So, yeah, a little teaser for hopefully what will come out this summer.
Watch the space.
Yeah,
exactly. What else is on the horizon? What else do we want to do? We haven't even talked about this, so I'm just going to throw it out there.
Oh,
it's going to continue, obviously. Going back to what Tim said earlier, we'll kind of do this and get episodes out when we can and as often as we can. But, you know, has anyone got a wish list? What else would they...
It's not a wish list for some of you. So I know Ellie's thinking, you know, he's going to come to me next.
I know.
He's going to come to me. I'm fascinated by... the work that Ellie's done on the aircraft over the winter. You know, I've been watching your social media, watching your social media posts and just seeing the work. And when we talked to Amanda Harrison about the Tiger Moth, I thought it was really interesting because the question I really wanted to ask her is, are you qualified to do that? You know, I thought the whole sector was so besotted with regulation forms, processes, procedures. Yet I see a picture of Ellie laying under an aircraft with oil streaming all over the place, a spanner in her hands. And I'm thinking, how's this work? And when I was talking to Amanda Harrison on Solo to Darwin, I thought the same thing, but I never asked that question. So it's just an interesting area. Where does that regulation cross over to, well, no, you can't do that, and that bolt has to be done to this specification versus, you know, the sorts of work? Because you've rebuilt that whole engine and everything, haven't you, Ellie?
Yeah, so the engine was on another aircraft, but really with all this regulation, you've, like, you could do an entire series on it. Aviation regulation nightmare. But it boils down to which kind of maintenance scheme your aircraft's on, so whether it's on an LAA or a CAA.
Right.
Ours are on LAA, so we can do stuff. But even then, there's other rules you've got to follow that you can and can't do.
Yeah.
But there'll be an inspection though, and they're like regular inspections and LAA sort of qualified inspectors to check all your work's done after you know screwed things together, hit things with hammers.
I also know Peter is desperate and keeps telling me that I must be my dad.
Yes, you must.
For
the show, of course, but because if another picture of your dad comes across my screen. And I don't hear him and hear his story.
He doesn't know. My dad was one of the last groups to be called up to do national service and was an instrument technician on Victor B bombers at RAF Cottesmore when they came into service in 1958. And that is a photo that appears on the internet almost weekly of a Victor scramble with a ground crew all running around near the aircraft, and the chap pulling the chocks is my old pattern. So I his picture appears low, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all the time, just always.
Oh, it's like the and my dad reckons it's the only thing they trusted him. My dad, for somebody who was called up, threw himself into his RAF career, he actually signed up and did an extra year, which he didn't have to do. He also got himself flight in a Lightning and a Canberra and a Shackleton and aircraft, which so he's got some great stories. And the Lightning story in particular, they had a Victor from Cottesmore go into RAF Coltishall in Norfolk with a technical problem. Dad was part of the team that got flown over to Coltishall to fix the aircraft so it could make it back home. And on one summer's afternoon, they were all sat lounging on the grass, and this chap came out and said, "I'm off on an air test in a two-seater. Does anyone want to come with me?" A Lightning pilot. I think most of them said, "Sod that for a game of soldiers." apart from my dad, he said, "Yeah, I'll come with you." So,
wow.
So Dad ended up going supersonic over the watch in a Lightning, you know.
Wow.
He's got some great stories. And, my love of aviation comes from my dad. It's as simple as that. And I'm sure we've all got some sort of connection like that. So you're right, Peter. It's something that one of the things I think when I look back at our body of work, if that's not too grand a way of putting it, is that we have captured some amazing stories in these 200 plus episodes, and they'll be there forever.
Yeah.
And that I think is really, really valuable. And I go back and listen to episodes myself. I don't know if you guys ever get, like, I'm off to listen to my interview with Hug Wilson about four times.
That is a good episode. That is a good one.
It was such good fun, and it's Phantoms, and Tug was a really good talker. A bit like Bill and Tim, one of those. Just give him a little tidbit, off he went.
Whenever he appears on another podcast or a video cast or anything, I'm always there. He's such a great storyteller.
We are capturing history.
Yeah.
And obviously, listen, no one's going to last forever, are they? But, you know, we go back to people like Sharky. Not the only people to have interviewed Sharky or Winkle, but these people have gone now. And we are part of that sort of canon of, I don't know how you would research, if you want to call it that.
We're an archive.
These will be available to people, forever.
Well, we do have some painful souls who do go back to the beginning And we have to find them, the episodes, because some of the podcast players have dropped it, and listen right from the beginning. And I do say to them, please don't do that, because you'll never get to 202 or whatever we're at now. You'll give up after four or five. But they seem to love it and seem to work their way through it. And that reminds me of talking about that lightning flight. Let's not forget Tim's flight and your flight. You flew the Hunter.
Tim, 2012, the fast jet bomber.
And Tim flew the Super Hornet.
I didn't fly that summer. I know nothing.
No, I think EasyJet to Malaga. Yeah, EasyJet to Malaga, I think, was my flight. And we had some fabulous times talking about those flights. And I mean, you know, both of you, up until quite recently, I still use those quotes from your flights in the post-show rollout. I've taken a lot of that out because I think not everyone listens to that now. But yeah, you know, we've had fabulous experiences like that. We've met at air shows, you know, we had fun at Yeovilton, yeah. Gareth and Tim, so, you taught me how to be an aviation journalist at Farnborough. I'm never, ever going again. I love aeroplanes. But it's such hard work. I mean, it was. It was really hard work.
Yeah, someone was saying that the other day. So I think actually, I mean, the talking of like meeting up in person, I think, so obviously we've got ideas for the future. I mean, one of the things that in my head is, you know, doing it not semi-live, but you're there in an aviation museum. Maybe you're stood around, you know, maybe you've got a curator, or you've got an aviation historian, you're at Hendon somewhere, and you're in Duxford, and you're in front of, you know, an SR-71, or you're in front of a Spitfire, and somebody's there to just give you a quick, you know, obviously the audio quality you'd have to balance with, but doing something a little bit live on location, I think, you know, just kind of the odd episode here and there, you know, when we're
out. Yeah,
we
need to get out more, don't we?
Yeah.
As the saying goes, yeah, that'll be fun. I'd also like to throw it out to the listeners. We ran a poll two or three months ago about what they wanted to hear and what they enjoyed the most, and interestingly enough, it was Cold War aircraft. Cold War was the most popular topic. Fast jets as well are always popular, but I was quite intrigued by that, and World War II is still very popular. But
get those guys and girls while we can as well, anybody else, obviously, that had a good time and all that.
Yeah, so if there's topics you want us to cover, you know how to get a hold of us on social media or email us. All the links are out there. So let us know what you want us to cover, and we'll just say no and move on to what we want to do. No, I'm joking. No, it's always good to tap in and see what others want us to cover, and if they're enjoying what they're hearing now. We know that there's, you know, 20 billion T podcasts out there now. When we started, there were a handful.
Well, but the other thing also, I think, is I'm putting it out there as a sort of a secret of our success is you know, consistency, isn't it? It's keep plodding on, and you know, a lot of podcasts start, then they kind of fizzle out, and people kind of like lose interest and things like that. So I think one of the things that you know we've kept going, you know, sheer pluck, determination.
There's just so many great stories, Tim. There are so many great features still to do, you know.
Yeah, and we've got a list. We've got a list of people who are there. Oh, you know, gosh, you know, and it's really the thing is finding the time, isn't it? It's finding the time as to when we slot these people in. When have we got time to do it? Rather than we're bored with it. We've run out of ideas. I never want to do this podcast again because you know I think it's that we're still not bored with it.
We haven't burnt the list yet.
Yeah, and you know, if you got to that point, you know, you'd be like, well, you know, fair enough, I suppose. But I think, you know, I think that's I think that's the one of my takeaways.
Yeah, and it's just so good to hear some of those areas, to learn some more about some of the areas we didn't know so much about back in the day, as they say. You know, telling some of the story. I mean, Robert Forsyth, who's the Luftwaffe, the World War II Luftwaffe expert. I mean, his knowledge is just unbelievable. And his book on Stalingrad, when I first got it, I was like, whoa, this is going to be heavy. This is going to be tough going. Do you know what? It's a fabulous, fabulous piece of work. And it's things like that. I'm just continually amazed by the stories and the research that some of our guests do. And sometimes it's not always the ones you think, you know.
Chinese space flight.
Chinese
space flight. The history of the Chinese space program. Yeah. That was education. I was an eye-opener.
Yeah, it was really interesting doing that. And the Japanese one. An episode that really sticks in my mind with me is the one we did on Fokker. I didn't know anything. I'm Dutch. I didn't know anything about Anthony Fokker. And again, you know, I bought the book and I thought, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to like this. You know, it's not Cold War fasty, pointy things. Fascinating character, really fascinating. And the bedrock for an awful lot of the sector's activities these days, you know, those were the foundations. A lot of those European production lines originated from, and it's things like that. Mark, I think our guest was Mark Derricks, I think it was. It's just episodes like that that sort of just come out of the blue sometimes. We did one very, very early on the first 747 crash in, I think, what was it, Kenya? I think it was Kenya. We recorded it in a hotel lobby. And it was really quiet and really quite, I don't know, it really got the atmosphere. And I didn't think of that, but somebody contacted us and said, God, the atmosphere around that was really enthralling, you know. And it's those sorts of things that just make it worthwhile. Yeah. So yeah, Tim, we need to get out more. I do need to get out a bit more.
I'm not
coming to Farnborough with you. I'm not working hard like that.
So stealing Gareth's sandwiches here. Question to Ellie, as our younger demographic. What her ideas for the next 200 episodes?
One by one.
Should we be on TikTok? Should we be doing memes? Should we be doing dancing? Pointing at things.
Honestly, I'm terrible at all that. I've got a TikTok account and I have no idea how to use it. But honestly, I'm a World War II nut. So obviously I love World War II stuff. But given that we all love Cold War stuff, maybe we need to try and get some U2 stories on.
Oh,
I forgot, Ellie. I forgot.
Me replying.
Yeah.
Try. No promises.
So, U2 be good. You two be good. Yeah. And of course, Ellie, we do need to get Charlie to come and tell us about Night Fright and see how they're doing. I noticed they were posting some updates. I mean, that rebuild is just unbelievable.
Cement.
Yeah, it's I've never seen an old aircraft rebuilt to the quality of something like that. So I think that'll be a fabulous story. I think maybe in a few weeks' time we can reach out again to Charlie and see how he's doing. But, exciting times.
So just before we wrap up episode 203, there is one big thank you that we need to issue, and that's to you, the listener, because, yes, we do this in our own time. Yeah, we don't get paid for it, and we enjoy it. We've told you all that in the last 50 minutes or so, but let's face it, if we knew that nobody was listening, we probably wouldn't be very much point. We know that you're listening, and we've got an incredibly loyal band of listeners. As Tim said, we've kept on going. Some of you have been with us
from the beginning,
since day one.
Yeah,
and for that we are extremely grateful. You do have a huge choice podcast to listen to these days, and we are so grateful that one of the ones that you choose to listen to is Extended. And we get some lovely comments. We get some lovely feedback. We get, you know, we've had donation from people. You know, there is a cost attached to all of this, but we're happy to meet that. But and we always have done. But yeah, it's that things like that are absolutely lovely and always really surprised me. So for me anyway, and I know I can give everyone else a chance now as well. Just a huge, huge thank you for being with us and sticking with us, and we'll keep doing this for as long as you want us to.
Yeah, thanks very much. I echo that. Yeah, thanks for sticking with us.
And some great organisations as well around us. You know, all the publishers that we work with are very supportive of what we do. And I know a lot of people think, oh, well, there you go. You just get free books, so you just promote it. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that at all. You know, we have to work hard with them to find the right topics and subjects to work on. And almost all of them have been so supportive of the program. So too many to name. But also Mick Oakey, the aviation historian, always a strong supporter of the program. I know they're going through some changes, but every single episode out there supporting us. And of course, you know, reciprocal advertising in their magazine helps us to reach that audience as well. All the book clubs, Simon, Andy, yeah, you know, always again support us and co-promote what we do. So, you know, there's some great organisations in this sector that that work with us. We've had some fabulous guests, and sometimes it's the ones you just never think will be the ones that hit the spot. I never saw the Sharky episode being quite as explosive as it turned out to be. And, you know, there you go. You think of that. If you remember, Tim, the quality of the line to, where was it? Is it Barbados? Grenada, that was it.
Yeah.
Grenada was just shocking. And we all laughed, you know, because he had the dog outside, you know, barking all the time. It was a real Caribbean feeling in terms of the background. But that didn't bother the listeners. And as I say, that's been by far the biggest episode we've ever produced. So it just goes to show sometimes if you hit the right topic, you get the right guest.
Apart from the ones where me and Tim talked about our Bob Deathblow.
Oh, but of course, that was the most popular. That was the jousting, the jockey jet jousting. Yeah, not so much of that these days, though. And, you know, the
hornet would have taken my hunter out now this year.
And the whole sector's changed. You know, we've been through Brexit, we've been through COVID. You know, everything's changed, but it's all bouncing back. And there's some great stories out there of organisations bouncing back after, you know, really, really troubling times. And it's great to see. So, yeah, exciting times. And hopefully we've got some good, exciting content to come.
And we've been up with both.
Yep.
This will wrap up episode 203. Episode 204 is already in the planning. And so we are moving ahead. I would just like to say, Peter, Tim, Ali, thank you very much. It's great to see you again, and chat. It's always fun being in your company. Let's try and do it.
we should try and do it together. Tim's right. We should try and get together somewhere.
Thank you. There's been a lot of laughs over the last.
Yeah, there have.
As much as anything else, it's been good. It's been good fun. Yeah, Peter stitches us up with the outtakes and.
There's an interesting one. We don't run outtakes that very often now because we don't have them.
We're too slick. Yeah.
So
we have to script the outtakes now.
Yeah. I did some recently, but yeah, we'll keep an eye out for any outtakes as things go forward. We know how popular they are.
And as is tradition, we're going to tell you where you can find us online to wrap up. You can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Gareth_ Stringer. Peter?
You can find me on that same place, Nascot Hornet, and you can also find all of the extended social media links on Twitter, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram.
Tim?
Yes, I'm still on the artist formerly known as Twitter. Yeah, X. I'm on at @RESTimR, and you can find all the Aeronautical Society content on aerosociety.com.
And finally, so we can let her get back to work in the hangar before a very big week, Ellie.
Yeah, so I'm on X, and I think it's at @DragonGirl94. Instagram, which is at EllieCarter74, and I finally started a YouTube channel, which is at The Vintage Workshop.
Oh!
Go and check it out, folks. I know that we will, and good luck with that, Ellie. But that wraps up episode 203. Guys, thank you for being with us, whether it's your first episode or your 203rd or anywhere in between. We've enjoyed it, and we will carry on enjoying it. And thank you for listening to Extended. We'll see you soon.
Legal policy and use of our material can be found on our website. Please do ask before using anything you hear. The programme's produced with a Creative Commons licence.
Please leave us a review wherever you play your podcast. It genuinely helps grow our programme and broaden its reach. You can also review the programme and leave us feedback on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to email us, our email address is getinvolved@aviationextended.co.uk. And remember, there's no E at the beginning of Extended.
Extended.
This is XTP Media.